we follow Vedic principles. So Vedas declare that these four kinds of activities are sinful. So we accept. Our authority is Veda. Just like lawyer's authority is law book.
Would you say there are more sins than those four?
What is that?
And are there other sins?
Are there other sins besides before?
These are the basic principle of sinful life. Other sinful activities come out of it. Just like illicit sex life, illicit relationship of a man or woman, there may be many dangerous things, you see. So the basic principle is illicit sex life. Now it can go up to murdering and so many things. So if we avoid the basic principles, the further subsidiary sinful activities automatically stopped.
But I haven't remembered before, is one of those basic principles concerned with truth?
Yes.
Which one?
Because Veda means knowledge. Knowledge means truth. Unless you come to the knowledge of truth, the knowledge is not perfect.
But do you specifically have a precept against telling a lie or against hypocrisy?
Well, hypocrisy and other things, they are subsidiary. If one is pure from the very beginning, then there is no chance of becoming hypocrite. Why he should be hypocrite? If he is open, clear, why one should become hypocrite? Hypocrisy, when there is sinful activity, then hypocrisy. If there is no sin, where is the possibility of hypocrisy? A sinful man may pose himself a religious man, that is hypocrisy.
Yes.
But if there is no sin, then where is hypocrisy?
What I didn't understand is how this is covered by your four pillars. Which of these would cover lying?
Lying?
Yes, telling lies.
That I've already explained.
Yes, but which of those four pillars?
All of them. All of them. And it's like one is in intoxication. He may say that I am very pure. But how one can become pure, he is addicted to intoxicants. So I heard from one of my disciples that there is a hospital in USA. 5,000 priests are there for curing their intoxication health. Do you know that?
I don't know that number. I know that there are hospitals and
so sanitary. If the priest is going to hospital for curing his intoxication, how is he? He's hypocrite.
He would admit that.
Yes. How a priest can be intoxicant?
He would say that was just his weakness. He would say it was his weakness.
Weakness is hypocrisy. If you are weak, you cannot become priest because you are teacher, religious teacher. You should not take that course. That is hypocrisy.
But perhaps this is the difference, or one of the differences, between Western and Eastern civilization.
No, it is not a question of Eastern and Western.
In the East, you are wise man. Mm-hmm. Is nearly always an elderly man.
Mm-hmm. Not always.
Not always.
Not always.
But in the West, your priest is generally made a priest in his early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had thrust upon him the role of the wise man,
mm-hmm.
which he doesn't always seek.
Just like these boys, they're very young, 20s. Between 20 to 30. So, they are made here brahmachari. And some of them are sannyasi. But they are strictly following these principles. And because they are young men, there cannot be any concession that he can become intoxicants, he can indulge in meat eating. No.
But what do you think of a young man as a wise man? Isn't it known that a young man is working his way towards wisdom?
The wise man becomes by knowledge, not by age. Even an old man, if he has no knowledge, well, what is he? He's not a wise man. Wise means one who has attained knowledge. He may be young, he may be old, it doesn't matter. Vikattam bayasadana in Sanskrit, word. So one becomes elderly without being advanced in age. That means he knows the knowledge. Therefore he is elderly. A elderly person means advanced in knowledge, not by age.
But, you see, knowledge and attainment aren't the same thing. You know, I may know that it is wrong to be an alcoholic. And maybe I am not actually physically an alcoholic. But it doesn't mean to say that interiorly I have cleansed myself of all addiction. But the fact that you are not drinking for a year doesn't mean to say that you have overcome the intoxicant urge, if that is in you.
This argument is not very strong. Just like one foodstuff, freshly made, it is fresh. But if somebody argues that it remains 4 days more, it will become bad. That is thermization. Now it is fresh, we take it fresh. What will happen in future, that is no consideration. In future, everyone may fall and everyone may become elevated. But we have to track his present situation, what he is at present.
Couldn't it be the difference between appearance and reality?
This is reality. If at the present moment he is free from all sinful activities, that is reality. In future, everyone is susceptible to fall down. If he does not carry the principles strictly, that proneness is there. But that is not consolation. What he is at present, that is consolation.
But what he is at present may be an accident.
Why accident? Yes. It is actually happening. Why is it accident?
Well, for instance, if you take a man shipwrecked on an island alone. He is not in any sense taking part in impure love or illegal, illicit love. But it doesn't mean to say that he is free from all desire for illicit love.
No, nobody is free. But so long he acts nicely, he is nice.
So it is the action rather than the exterior rather than the interior.
Of course, everyone has got interior tendency, but practicing actually, exteriorly, that interior also is reformed. That is, by external behavior, the interior behavior also becomes a fixer by practice. Therefore, there is regular class so that he may be purified internally and externally. Sa madhab dhantaram sushi. Jasmane pundari vaktham sa madhab dhantaram sushi. If you constantly remember the Supreme Law, so you become automatically purified internally and externally. Because the Lord is absolute. So, if we chant the Lord's holy name, the name is also Lord. He has no difference between his name and himself.
But you make a difference between the law and the spirit of the law, or the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And we can say a man can keep the letter of the law without in any way keeping the spirit of the law.
No, that is materially different. But spiritually,
that's different.
No, spiritually, the Lord and his name, the Lord and his form, the Lord and his quality, they are all identical.
I was saying Lord. Yes, but you can have the letter of the law.
No, I am not speaking of law.
I am talking
of Lord.
Yes.
So Lord and Lord's name, they are the same identity. Just like we are chanting Hare Krishna. So, this Krishna name and the Krishna person are identical. Because the Lord is absolute. In the material world, the world of duality, the name is not the substance. If you require water, simply by chanting water, water, your thirst will not be quenched. You require the substance water. And the spiritual world, the Lord and his name, the same thing. If you chant the Lord's name, Krishna, or any name of Lord, that is identical with the Lord. Therefore, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you are associating with the Lord. And as soon as you associate with the Lord, you become purified. Because Lord is all pure. Just like if you associate with fire, you become warm. Similarly, if you constantly associate with the Lord, you remain purified. Therefore, our principle is, they are always chanting, just like we are chanting, or reading some book, or talking with you about Krishna. So, we are always connected with Krishna, or God. In all our activities, the whole house, you see, they are engaged in some sort of work which has connection with Krishna. There is no other one. So, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, anything attached with God, that is also godly.
I can see what Father Tanner means about the spiritual man on the outside, not necessarily being pure on the inside.
No, he's not spiritual man, he's a hypocrite.
Well, this is
he must be inside and outside correct. If one is outside correct, inside wrong, he's not spiritual man. We don't accept it.
You begin with the outside.
No, inside and outside, both.
But your principles are saying to the outside man.
Outside man?
The actions.
It's in the portrait. Outward manifestations. They belong to material person.
Outward manifestation.
Mm.
The outward manifestation, just like outwardly, iron rod, it is iron. Iron. You follow me?
Yes.
But you put the iron in the fire.
Yes.
So the iron becomes warm, warmer. And then at last it becomes red hot. When the iron is red hot, it is no longer iron. It is fire. If you touch anywhere, it will burn. Although apparently it is iron rod. But because it has become red hot, it is fire. Similarly, if you constantly keep in spiritual activities, your outward body, although it is iron or matter, it becomes spiritualized. Try to understand this example. Iron rod put into the fire, when it is red hot, it is no longer iron rod. It is fire. Similarly, this body of the material, if you constantly keep in touch with these spiritual activities, then it is no longer material. It is spiritual. The body is also spiritual.
And how long do you think this takes to...
So long you keep in spiritual activities.
For a young man or a young woman, beginning.
Well, I say that there is every chance of falling down. That is up to you to keep fit. Otherwise there is chance of falling down. But even if he falls down, whatever he has done, then it's permanent.
You see, in your example, if you take your iron,
yes,
it's hot.
Yes.
Once it's been immersed into the fire and it's hot, then it must always burn, whatever you touch.
Yes, that's right there.
It's the cup. If you take your person, your spiritual man, or the person who's trying to become a spiritual man, and he could have done his best to make contact with the spirit, he doesn't always, after that, be spiritual. He knew your iron has to burn.
Yes.
He hasn't got to be spiritual.
No. It has the, if you keep the iron always hot, it is fire. Is it not? Similarly, if you always keep yourself within the spiritual activities, then you are spiritual.
See, I don't think that the spiritual activities which are external forms can really of themselves change the internal man.
Yes, it changes. Now, actually, you can see here.
You can have a person who goes to church every Sunday to say his
prayer. No, our program is not like that. We go after 7 days. We are 24-hour Sundays.
Yes, yes. But all I'm saying is you can have this and they are not spiritual.
No, why not spiritual?
And
that
you actually do. You're the
disciples. I don't know your
disciples, but is it possible that some of them, even with 24-hour-a-day exercises,
yes, our program is like that.
Fail to become spiritual.
Our program here is like that. We have got DDs 6 times out of 3 in preparation for that. Cleansing the temple room, washing the dishes of the deity, cooking for the deity, arranging for the other things. So, they are always thinking of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness. It's like you have got so many books. But they are reading books of Krishna. This is also Krishna consciousness. So, or they are going to Sankirtan party, that is also Krishna consciousness. So it is a question of practice and practical understanding. If theoretically one cannot understand, but we have got 24 hours engagement for this world. Not a single moment lost. In this way it changes.
I really don't, and I don't deny that, I don't see the difference externally between that and brainwashing.
That suppose you are washing the floor of the temple, it is not external. Because there is Krishna consciousness. He is washing the floor or washing the dishes for Krishna. So the consciousness is there. So actually our life is consciousness. If your full consciousness is only for God, then you remain always godly. There is no doubt about it. If you make division, so much for worldly and so much for godly, then there is difference. But if you doctrine everything towards the service of the Lord, then anything you do, there is godly.
Would you think it is possible to hate the deity?
Hate
the deity.
Why?
Is it possible?
No, a devotee cannot test the deity. How can he say?
Because you can see the deity as too strong, repressive, taking away your freedom, your own wishes.
Yes.
And so you can come to
hate. Spiritual is me to satisfy your freedom. That is spiritual. You have no more freedom. You are simply engaged for God's service.
That's why were we created free?
Huh?
Why were we created?
You are not free. You are thinking so-called free. You are not free. You are under the stringent laws of nature. You are not free. But you are thinking foolishly that you are free.
But if I'm not free,
yeah,
then I can't give up my freedom for religion.
You are free to some extent. Because you are part and parcel of God. God is completely free. So because you are part and parcel of God, therefore you have got that minute freedom. That minute freedom when you misuse for other purposes, then you fall. But if you use that freedom for the service of the Lord, you have got freedom. You may serve the Lord, you may not serve. That is your freedom. But if you serve the Lord, then you become happy. If you do not serve the Lord, then you become happy.
If I serve the Lord, do I lose that little bit of freedom?
Because you are meant for that part.
Do I lose that little bit of freedom?
No, that is real freedom. Just like this my finger. Is part and parcel of my body. So long the fingers help the body, it is healthy. If it is painful, it cannot hurt, then it is unhealthy. Similarly, the living entity, when it cannot serve God, that is its material condition or unhealthy condition. When it serves God, that is its natural condition. Because it is part and parcel of.
Where did we lose the contact with God?
When you misuse your freedom, you have got little freedom.
But at what point did I, or a child, lose its contact with its creator?
If you say, suppose I am serving my master, I can think of, why should I serve him? I shall become independent. That is my freedom. Little freedom. So I cannot become independent. That is not my healthy state. Take for example, a dog. A dog is healthy when he has got a good master. And if he hasn't got a good master, he is still dog, neglect. He is not healthy. Similarly, our position is like that we must be dependent on God. Therefore, in your Christian Bible also, you go for your bread, God gives our daily bread. So you are dependent. So it is better to remain dependent on God than to use your so-called little figure.
But your dog can be healthy in two ways, can't he? The dog can be healthy if he has a good master, and he can be healthy if he has no master.
Yes.
If your dog is just running free in its natural state,
yes,
he is a healthy animal.
No, a dog is not healthy. I'm giving a particular example. Then it is a street dog. A street dog has no position. It's not healthy. I'm giving a crude example that the dogs so similarly, we are all dependent on God. That is it in your Bible also. That is
dependent.
So to remain dependent on God is our healthy state. As soon as we declare independent of God, that is our unhealthy state. This is our philosophy. And in your philosophy, to remain, that is the basic ingest. That, nitya nityanam chetana chetanaram ekoja bahulam vidadati tamat. What is the difference between God and ourselves? God is also a living entity like us. But He is the chief living entity. He is maintaining all of us. Therefore we have to ask God to give us our ability. He is the maintainer, we are maintained. Just like in a family, the father is the maintainer. And the mother and the children and the servants are maintained. Similarly, the whole universe, whole creation, it is maintained by God. But we living entities within this universe, as in this creation, we are maintained. So as we are maintained, it is better to remain dependent on God than to declare it.
But you can, in this world, within the limits of time and space,
yes,
be a healthy person without admitting your dependence on God.
Yes. We are dependent. We have no business.
But you can be healthy. And
live healthy, what do you mean by healthy?
Well, you know, you were saying if what a man does that makes him that, if he is pure here and now, then it's not his inside, it's his
head. Our description of healthy life is to become God conscious. That is healthy life. Otherwise, do you think that an animal like anything very strong, does it mean that it is healthy? No.
So I would say if an elephant can be healthy, my body can be.
That is temporary. Everyone is subjected to death. So you may be very strong, healthy, but you cannot avoid death.
No.
So
then,
so therefore, ultimately, you become so-called healthy or not healthy. You die. That is a fact. So, we do not want that kind of healthiness. Our proposition is that we go back to home, back to Godhead, and remain with God eternally, enjoying blissful life. This is our healthiness.
I accept these principles, but, you know, the words, I would say, be healthy, but, you know, when you go to God's end, this isn't on your physical healthiness.
No.
This is on your
spiritual. When you go to God, God, you go in your spiritual body.
Yes.
Spiritual.
So, but you can be physically healthy.
When you get to spiritual body, there is no such material inconveniences. The material inconveniences being, so long you have got this material body, you are subjected to birth, death, old age and disease. When you revive your spiritual body, these four things are done. No more birth, no more death, no more disease, no more old age. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life.
Yes, I mean this, I think, you know, anyone who's in any sense spiritual or religious or ethical or this, because the spiritual body has no parts. So you cannot start to be or cease to be, and cannot change within its own entity.
The spiritual body is there already. That's why you have got your body. The core is made according to your body. You existed first. Your core was made later. Similarly, spiritually we exist eternally. Now according to our different types of activities, we get a body, material body. There are 8,400,000 different forms of body. So the spirit soul is translated according to desire and work to different types of body. This is called transplantation of the soul.
You would hold that the spirit is eternal.
Yes.
In the sense that in the beginning all spirits were contained within the deity.
Yes.
And at the end all spirits refined themselves in the deity.
Yes.
What would you ever admit that the spirit could fail if after his last journey?
Yes. He seems of little independence. That I've already taught. He has got little independence. So long he is engaged in the service of the Lord, he remains in the spiritual body along with the Lord.
Now I say, is it possible for any spirit, not ultimately after its various transmigrations through his body, is it possible for any spirit never to regain contact with the Lord?
Yes. If he comes in contact with the servant of God, then he revives his soul. Consciousness, original consciousness.
What would you say, is it possible for us to put this soul never to regain state of God consciousness?
No, why never? He has got chance. Mm-hmm. When he comes in contact with the servant of the Lord, he realizes his Krishna consciousness. Then he begins his spiritual life. So how can he say?
But is it possible that the world one day will end? And physical bodies will end.
No, that is not possible.
The world will not end.
Why will it end?
Yes. Now, I'm saying, when this time comes and all physical things end, will any of the spirits fail to reunite with the Godhead?
Why? As soon as he likes to reunite. That is, that depends on his liking or not liking.
But could you admit?
There is no, you are talking of mechanical. But I am talking of that it is independent. As soon as the living entity desires to unite with the Supreme Law, he can do that.
Yes, but will it ever
so long he does not desire, he will have to continue this material existence. And so that depends on him.
And could that go on and on forever? His not desire.
Well, how can I say? You have got independence of desire not to desire. That depends on you. If you never desire, then you continue. Perpetual material life. But there is chance.
And now, taking that verse, when material things cease, what happens to him?
Material things, material and spiritual. The living entity is just spiritual. And the material elements, earth, water, fire, they are also material, energy. There are two kinds of energy. Three kinds of energies. Just like fire has got two kinds of energies, heat and light. Similarly, God has got multi-energies. All those multi-energies have been divided into three. One is called internal, another is called external, and the third is called matter. So, this material world is manifestation of the external and matter energy. So in the material world, ceases to exist or it is dissolved and hidden. The energy goes back to God. good way. Anyway, when there is creation, the same energy creates. The marginal energy, by the marginal energy and external. This is going on. Just like day and night. This is going on. At daytime, people are busy. This is creation. At night, everyone is sleeping. Similarly, when there is creation, these activities are going on. When there is no creation, it is night, everyone is sleeping.
Is there a spirit opposed to the divine spirit?
Spirit
opposed. God is good.
Yeah.
Is there another spirit that is not good?
So we are all another spirit. Just like the Father and the Son. The Father is also spirit. The Son is also another spirit.
Can there be opposition in the spirit world?
Yes.
Conflict
in the spirit world. Yes. It's like Father has got 10 sons. Some of them are opposition to the Father. And some of them are very obedient.
But I'm not saying of the spirit in man. I'm saying the spirit in themselves.
Yes, spirit in themselves. Are not opposition.
Can they be in opposition?
No. When they are in opposition, they have to accept this material body. Just like the citizens in the prison house, it means they are all in opposition to the laws of the state. Similarly, anyone who is in this material body, they are in opposition to the supreme will of the law. Therefore, they are put into this material law in variety of life. So, they can stop that opposition and again go back to home better.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Moore's tense again. You look very tired.
No, I'm not tired. I'm a little old.
You have the devil within
us. Even to
say.
So our movement is, we are training people to revive their original God concept and go back to God. Yes. Yes.
She has a good bad at me.
At me?
Make her heavy.
No. You have seen all our books?
I have not seen of your books.
I see, thank you. So you are approaching people to become God conscious. That's all. And in the Bhagavad it is stated Tavai Pusam Paro Dharma Jatur Bhakti Ladhukhati. That is first class religion. It teaches people how to love God. That is first class religion. It doesn't matter whether it is Hindu religion or Christian religion or Mahayana religion. If it teaches the followers how to love God, then it is first class.
I think I'm almost only teaching them to love one another.
Yes. No, one another that is going on in so many ways. You see, that has never become successful, neither it will become successful. That is why. Because here the atmosphere is so surcharged with material idea that even if I want to love you, you may not like it. That is the position. So you cannot be successful to teach people to love one another. That will never be successful. That has never been successful. But if you can teach people how to love one another.
How about teaching them how to love themselves?
Huh?
How about teaching them to love themselves?
Everyone is loving themselves. That does not require teaching. How to eat, you love your body. Therefore you eat.
I didn't mean that sort of love.
Huh?
I didn't mean that sort of love.
Then what kind of love?
The loving your own being for what God gave you. Loving yourself as you are, accepting yourself. That's very difficult, you know.
I do not follow what you say.
Loving your own personality.
Loving your personality, first of all you know what you are. What is your personality?
But
if you do not know what you are, then how can love you?
This is the problem.
Yes,
you can
what you are. If I ask you what you are, then you answer.
No.
Eh?
What can I say? I explain that I am.
So if you do not know what you are.
No, I'm saying I do know.
If you know, then tell me what you are.
So many things, it would take a long time to say.
Quite a long time. You can't come to speak in subset and not
say. No, in some ways.
You can't say.
In some ways, I am very intolerant. In some ways, I am very...
Now, that is another thing. First of all, I must know what is my identity.
But my identity is made up of so many. It's not one thing.
So that's one. First of all, one. That's that what we say, that my identity is that I am Jitanand Sargant of God. This is that.
Well, this is the inner being, but then it finds expression in me.
Now, as Sargant of God, and I can have many activities, but my identity is that I am Jitanand Sargant of God. This is our identity. So if I love myself because I am eternal servant of God, therefore, if I actually I love myself, I must always engage myself in the service of the Lord. This is love.
But there must, in yourself, there must be times when you are angry, times when you are...
I can become angry for God.
Times when you are
humble. Suppose you are serving the Master. For the master's satisfaction, he sometimes becomes angry.
But I think what Susan was saying is our personality.
And I, first of all, if you give your identity, which does, even if you become angry, it is not there.
See, but you can become it. But, no, we are saying.
Suppose just like I tell you that a dog is your son. It is standing on the door. Some thief is dying. If the dog is standing, so that to become angry is not bad for the dog. Because he carries the master. Similarly, if you are fixed up in your business as servant of the Lord, so even if you become angry for Lord service, that is not bad.
Possibly the dog might bite his master.
No.
Yes, he can.
I don't think it. Anyway, that is God, and that's a good example. But a spirit soul, when he is fixed up in the service of the Lord, he does not bite his master. He only touch. So we must know, see, if I actually love myself, first of all, I know what I am. If I know, then I can properly love. If I do not know what I am, if I change the man with body, this conception the dog has also. He is also thinking I am this body. To keep this body fitness, to eat nicely, to sleep nicely, this consciousness is there in cats and dogs. So therefore, as spirit soul, as human being, first of all you know, the other hand is body or something else.
But you know what you are and what you become. I hate what I am. I want to become something different. Now this is the same as a material man saying, I want to become spiritual or God conscious or what have you. But because I want to become this, it doesn't mean that I am this. Because I want to become God's servant, it doesn't mean that I am.
No, you don't. You do not want. You do not. You want or not want. That is not the question. First of all, you must know what is your real identity. You do not want and do want that independence you have got always. That is the difference. But first of all, you must know what is your identity. Your identity is, that I have already explained, if you are part and parcel of God. So far we understand our philosophies from Bhagavad Gita, Mamayivasa. The whole thing is one unity, in it. And everything is part and parcel of God, his energy. So we, the marginal living entity, we are also part and parcel of God. As part and parcel of God, what is my duty? It's like the finger. The religion immediately comes, serves, teaching, helps to keep the body in good condition. So similarly, as part and parcel of God, our duty is to serve God so that he may remain always satisfied. This is our duty.
You must be everything, otherwise we will stay all night. Thank you very, very much. See you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.